We are to be day by day conformed more and more to the image of God. I think one of the ways we start is staying away from what's known as presumptuous sins in Scripture. In Romans 6, Paul says, do I keep on sinning that grace may abound? By no means. By no means. Once we've been saved from our sin, we don't continue in it anymore. And that's what we're called to do as Christians, is to live free from sin. And if you remember back in the first chapter of 1 John, it says, when we do sin, what do? We confess our sins. It says there in 1 John 1, 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And that same thought continues there in chapter 2. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. The Bible says God knows our frame. He knows we are dust. And so Jesus speaks on our defense in front of Christ, saying, and he's the righteous one, and saying, it's my righteousness that you need to view them in. And so we have that as Christians, so we can live confidently and we can live free from the guilt of sin. But as it says there, is that we are still to avoid sin as Christians. He goes on to talk about that we are to walk in the light and not in darkness. God has shown us the way that we are to live, and we are to live that way. And so as we grow in our Christian life, that should be one of the characteristics that marks us, is that we are washed by and as we're forgiven by our sins, we're washed and we don't continue in them anymore. And there is a big difference between how dirty my son got and, for example, how dirty I got as an adult. You see, my son, before we put him into bed, I'd have to give him a full shower because he was just filthy. And so we'd do that. We'd drag him into the shower, literally kicking and screaming most nights because he wanted to stay up. And we'd wash him and then put him to bed. But my wife had one rule for me, actually, I can't. And she says, she would go to bed before me. And she says, when you come into bed, you have to wash your feet. You see, I'd wear sandals, and it's dirty and dusty, and your feet, the bottom, they'd be black by the end of the day. I would have showered maybe in the morning and stuff, and so by the time I go to bed there, she said, you just have to wash your feet. And it reminded me of Jesus talking to his disciples as he washed their feet. And he said, you have been made clean. I have to wash your feet. And as Christians, we've been made clean, but, we still need to be washing ourselves and making sure that that sin doesn't stick onto us. And so, one thing is, John says, I've written to you these things that you will not sin. But, we're not just called to a life of avoiding the wrong in this world. Christians are not just to live lives trying to avoid sin and saying, well, as long as I don't sin, I'm okay. He goes on to say then, kind of reverses that, is that he says, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. And so the Bible says, as a Christian, it's not only that you abstain from sin, but then also you go and obey Jesus' commands. When I think of what Jesus has commanded us, he says, the two greatest commandments are this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so we don't just avoid sin, but we begin living as Jesus said. In fact, it even says there in verse 6, it says, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. And so as Christians, we're called to stop living in a life of sin, but then to start living life as Jesus did, or walk in the same way that Jesus did. And, we could go into it, but simply just read. I encourage you to read again the Gospels and see the way that Jesus lived, the way he had mercy and compassion on people, the way he spoke up and shared the good news. Some of the first words of Jesus were, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Or, repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God is at hand. And so as Christians, we're called to live as Jesus did. He rightly said, you are my hands and feet. And so we are to be carrying out the mission of God. And so it's these two things held together, that we no longer live a life of sin, but then we start living life as Jesus did and following his example and obeying his command. You know, as I read through this chapter, I noticed that, at least in some translations, I counted 30 times the words but and if. But and if. And so as you go through the chapter, it talks about this, but then if this is true, you should live this way. And if you do this, then this is what that means. And of course, all it is, what it's saying is, this is what it means as Christians and how we should live as Christians. We should not sin. And I said, you know, we should particularly not be involved in willful or presumptuous sins. But instead, we should be living as Jesus did. As it says, that we walk in the light as He is in the light. And so the Christian life should be one that is free from willful sin and full of willful obedience. You know, it's not a natural thing to obey God's commands. It's not a natural thing at all for us as sinful humans to obey God's commands. And yet, here it says, we know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. You know, one of the marks, I think, of a Christian is that, you know, if you could say it comes naturally to me to do the things that God has called me to, that has shown us, that's a way of showing us that, yeah, we've come to know God because He's making us more and more conform to the image of His sons. And so the Christian life is one that is empty of willful sin and full of willful obedience to God. And this all, it says here in 1 John, is all based on who Jesus is. You know, as I talk about, you know, it's about our obedience to Christ, I think for most of us, we kind of frame that with Ephesians 2, chapter 8, which says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast." You know, these works and this obedience to God isn't what gets us into right standing with God, but is actually a result of coming into right standing with God through the grace of Jesus. You know, and that continues through the New Testament. Paul writes these things. He says, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." The Bible says, "Be holy as I am holy," or "for I am holy." And you see, as we talk about how we should live as a Christian life, it's all based on the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And we lay our foundation on Him and build up upon Him. At Teams Camp, one of the verses that kind of, was spoken time and time again was Colossians 2, 6 and 7, which says, "In the same way that you received Christ Jesus as Lord, so continue in Him, rooted and built up in Him." And so that's what it is as Christians. We receive Jesus, Lord. We recognize our need for Him. We put our faith in Him. And that's our roots, but that's also what we build up upon, is continuing in that same way of trusting in Jesus. And so it's all about Jesus. Our faith is about who Jesus is and what He has done. And this brings us then to one thing we need to watch out for as Christians. You see, as we live our Christian life, it says there that there are those who will be trying to lead us astray. And so he says that, "I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray." And who are these people? John writes and calls them the antichrists. Those, you know, quite literally, those who are against Christ. And who is that man? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the antichrist. It says, verse 22, "He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father, but whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also." You know, again, this is very much like the way John writes. Who has the Son has the Father. Who has the Father has the Son. Or it's through this, you know, Jesus. He wrote, it's John that wrote what Jesus said, you know, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." And so John is very clear that our salvation is found in Jesus. And that those who lead us astray, the way they'll lead us astray is leading us away from Jesus. The antichrists are the ones who deny that Jesus Christ is the Christ. And when they deny that, They're known as, he says here, the Antichrists. You know, when I was thinking about this, I think that there are many examples in our world today of those who could be called or labeled the Antichrists. There are cults out there. There are other religions out there. And even within Christianity, you'd say that there are certain streams that deny, as you look into them, they look nice, but they don't find their life in Christ. You know, one of the things that happened at teens camp, I was sitting down with a cabin. They were asking me questions they had about certain things. And quite a common question is often, well, what about, you know, there's all these churches out there. What? How do you choose? How do you know? Et cetera, et cetera. And what I often do, this is also a question that often international students ask, and I go to 1 Corinthians 15. I think it makes it very clear, because Paul says, you know, there's a gospel that I deliver to you, and that's the gospel that you take your stand on. And it says, and the gospel is this, that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, was buried and raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. And when Paul writes that to the Corinthian church, he says, I deliver this to you of first importance. And I've often said that if there's something of first importance, it means that other things aren't quite as important as this. Jesus Christ died for our sins, buried, rose again to life, all based on the Scripture, what the Bible says. And so I simply explained to the students that, or the campers, that, you know, that's what it's about. Is it Jesus? Is the teaching that it's Jesus who died for our sins, and in Jesus we have new life, and that the Bible is the sole source of authority, the ultimate source of authority? And I said, that's what you need to be looking for in a church. And when we were talking, there's two trees, conveniently, side by side. And the interesting thing is, if you looked up at the crowns of the trees, they kind of intermingled. And it's the same species. So they looked, you know, the crowns of the trees, they kind of meshed together. And it looked like, you know, you couldn't tell which leaf was from which tree. But I said, you know, if you trace it down, you'll find that they find themselves in two trunks and two different root systems. I said, these two trees are getting their life and are dependent on two different things. Right? They're getting their life and they're dependent on two different root systems that provide life to the tree. And so I said, you know, if you're looking for a church, see where it's depending on. See where it's getting its life from. Is it leading and finding its life in Jesus and the authority in the Scripture, or is it somewhere else? As we began talking, and we kind of had this conversation, and one of the things that some of the students asked about was, well, what about the Jehovah's Witness or Mormons? You know, those, I would say, are those who are of this spirit of Antichrist. Because what do they deny? They deny who Jesus truly is. They may claim to believe the same thing, but when you get down to it, they deny that Jesus Christ is fully God and come in the flesh, and through Him and Him alone and trusting in Him alone, we can have salvation. And you see, that's where a saying kind of, if you look up, you might say, well, they look the same. They look similar to us. They're well behaved. They're really nice, but as you dig down, you see that they deny who Jesus Christ truly is. They deny Jesus Christ as God come in the flesh. And so, you know, there's groups like them, the Jehovah's Witness and the Mormons, who'd have this spirit that at the end of the day they deny who Jesus is. You know, lots of other religions recognize and respect Jesus. You know, Islam, they would respect Jesus as a prophet, one of many, and not even the greatest. And again, they're denying who Jesus is, that it's in Him you trust and receive salvation. Even within what would be, I guess, from a world perspective, kind of classified as Christian religions, you see that there are some Christian groups out there who might preach a slightly different gospel. You see, Paul talked about the gospel that he preached and that you take your stand on is Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And there are churches out there that might preach works, That, you know, it's about our obedience. You know, we have to do good works for God, Christ, to accept us. And there's some that'll talk about prosperity. They'll say, it's Jesus plus other things. You know, it's more about you and less about Jesus. And all of these things have that same spirit of denying that Jesus is the Christ and that life is found in Him and only in Him. And so these are just 2 points that I drew out of this chapter of 1 John chapter 2. As Christians, we are not to live in willful sin. Our lives should be free from willful sin and full of willful obedience to Jesus. Yes, we will get dirty. Yes, we live in a world and environment where, we will sin. But He said we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And then as we live as Christians, we have to be aware that the world and Satan are trying to lead us astray. And so I want to give you an antidote. If we know that there's a danger, the best thing is to know is how to avoid that. And to know that there are groups and people out there who will try to lead us astray from Christ. How do we protect ourselves? How do we keep free from that? Well, the antidote is Jesus Christ Himself. Spend time with them. Spend time getting to know Him in the Word yourself. You see, that's what John writes about at the end. He talks about the anointing that we have so we can continue in Him and that we know what is right and that we know the truth. And the one place to find what to know what is right and true is in the Word of God that He's given us. And so that's my encouragement to you to live as Christians, is to get into the Word, to know it for yourself, and live it out in your own lives. It will fill you of life, and it will also safeguard you against what is out there. Let's just close in prayer. Father, we thank You for this time that we can be in Your Word. We just pray and ask that You would just help us follow You fully in our lives, Lord. Keep us from sin, I pray. And we thank You that every time we sin, we know that standing before Your throne is Jesus Christ, our righteous advocate. What comforting words. Father, just I pray that You help us discern and know the truth and then walk in the truth. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.